You know, we all like to win, right? We all like to win. You know, even playing Candyland with the kids. You know, you have your little four-year-old, and man, when they land on Queen Frosting or they pick up the Queen Frosting card, you would think they won the lottery, right? You know, it's just, oh yeah, Queen Frosting, it's so exciting. Well, we like to win, and with this being March Madness, let's take a look at a couple epic wins.
Is going to try to make some playoff to some type of ball screen.
8 seconds to go.
There's the switch. They're trapping him.
Vapor's in trouble with 5 seconds to go. Lost the dribble. Found it again. Leans in. That's no good. Back tap. Napier for the win. He got it.
The place goes wild. Here's another one.
Timeouts for Indiana. Jones. Watford for the win.
Yes! Yes! Oh! Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Can't believe it!
Wonderful celebration, and rightly so, right? I mean, the last second buzzer beater, man, it is awesome. We've seen some of those even this year already take place as we watch the NCAA tournament. But, you know, when I wrestled, I loved to win. It didn't matter who I was wrestling. I wanted to beat them. I wanted to win. We talk about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, you know, I just really love losing. You know, that getting beat up is just exhilarating. I've never heard that. We thrive on victory. And this Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate resurrection victory, the literal resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen, you understand, Jesus died. He was mocked. He was beaten. They had the cat of nine tails, they called it, which was a whip that had nine threads on it, and it had shards of glass or stone on the end, pottery, and Jesus was beaten with the cat of nine tails. And then he was forced to carry his own cross, jam the crown of thorns on his head, literally shedding his blood, carrying his own cross. He was so weakened by all of this that someone else had to help him carry his cross outside the city gates. And then they nailed him to the cross. It was common that they would just strap an individual to the cross and they would die of suffocation. They literally nailed Jesus to the cross. They pierced his side and he died. Jesus literally died. We might say he died from all that had taken place, from the beatings, from the mocking, from the piercings, from the agonizing hanging on the cross. But someone said he died of a broken heart because he bore your sins and mine. But he literally died on the cross. And he was buried and placed in a borrowed tomb. And that indicates that he really, truly did die. And then on that Easter morning, Mary goes to the tomb of other ladies. And they see that the stone had been rolled away. And they're wondering, where in the world did they take the body of Jesus? Somebody stole the body. And she sees the angel says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen as he said. And she and there's Jesus. And again, thinking that he was a gardener, says, where have you laid him? And he says, Mary. And her eyes are opened and she understands this is Jesus risen from the dead. And she gets so excited. She runs and she tells the disciples. And so Peter and John run and they scurry to the tomb. And John outruns Peter and he looks into the tomb and the body's not there. Peter, he comes storming in and the body is not there because he has risen just as he said. Amen? And we celebrate that resurrection here today. Jesus beat death. Jesus is victorious over sin and death. Here's your take-home thought today. And that is Jesus' resurrection provides victory for those who surrender. You think about surrender and you think of defeat. I've been periodically recently watching the World War II in color documentaries, and often you see the individuals that are surrendering, and it seems to indicate defeat. But in this sense, when you surrender to Jesus, that's the greatest victory of all. The greatest victory of all. It's the pathway to victory. The word victory is translated in the New Testament as victory or overcome is the Greek word Nike. It's pronounced a little different than the Greek, but Nike. It's a good label for athletic shoes and apparel, I would think, right? But one place it's translated victory is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, the Nike, that has overcome, another word for another form of the word Nike, has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that Nikes or overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Here's another place that it's used. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our text for today. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're looking at verses 51 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 says, behold, Paul is writing, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. I'm here to tell you, folks, that because Jesus rose from the dead, there's going to be a resurrection for those who believe. And he says, we will be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on the immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory, the Nike, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 54 there again. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, that's the resurrection. The perishable, this body, puts on immortality. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. When that happens, when resurrection takes place, verse 54, then shall come to pass the saying that is written out of Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8, the Old Testament. This will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The idea of this phrase is that death has been overcome. It has been defeated. It has been overwhelmed. It's been swallowed up. It's been absorbed, kind of like a whirlpool, or it just sucks it in, and it is no more. Death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Victory is greater than death. Death equals defeat. You know, you have the idea of fight to the death. Fight to the death. But this, in this text here, it says victory is greater than death. You would think death is it. It's done. It's over. This party's over. No. Death is swallowed up in victory. You see? It's complete. There are no vestiges of death any longer. Death can no longer ravage the victor. The victory is complete to the end. I think that speaks to the matter of security for the believer. There are some who think, well, you know, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me. No, I want to encourage you, if that's been your mindset and you've struggled with the matter of your security in your faith and your walk with God, no. Death has been swallowed up in victory to no longer defeat you. Man, that's awesome to think about that. And so in response, look at verse 55. Where, O death, is your victory? You know, again, you think death wins, right? It's done, it's over. No, where, O death, is your victory? It's speaking of death kind of as an opponent. Ha ha, death. Where's your victory? Oh, that's right. You have no victory because you have been defeated. Verse 55 again. Where, O death, is your sting? You know, the sting is something that hurts. Thankfully, I've only been stung by a bee twice in my life. All the time I've been outdoors and, you know, I've only... Now, of course, now I say that and I'm probably going to get stung, you know. But anyway, I remember... You know, one time I got stung right on the top of my ear. And, oh, man. I mean, I go, wow. Just, you know, it stings. It hurts. The idea of the sting here is at least that, if not like the sting of a scorpion. Has anybody been stung by a scorpion? Have you? Yeah, it hurts, right? Yeah. Worse than a bee sting? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's what we're talking about here. There's a sting in death. It's not good. It's not something we certainly look forward to. I hope I never get stung again. But here, it's like, oh, yeah, the sting of death is sin. Death is a sting, and sin leads to that sting. The sting of death is because of sin. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. That's the payment for sin. And the power of sin is the law. In other words, the law exposes how bad you and I really are. You cannot live up to the law. In fact, in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, I once was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. Have you ever had something like this happen to you? You know, you're driving along and, you know, 50, 55 miles an hour, you know, that's the general speed limit. And all of a sudden you look in the rearview mirror, and now I'm not saying this ever happened to me, but the lights are going, right? And you go, and you pull over, and you're like, what happened, officer? You know, and he's like, did you realize you were going 55 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone? No, I didn't even realize it. You know, you see, you were guilty and didn't even realize it. The law exposed your violation of the law, right? That's what the law does. That's what Paul is saying here. I was once alive, driving along, just along my merry way, didn't think anything of it, but then the commandment came, 35 miles an hour, and I got pulled over and realized that I was wrong. What can I say? The sign was back there, and I violated it. And verse 10 in Romans chapter 7 says, the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. If I could only keep the law, then I would be good. And I can't. The law just shows you that you're a sinner, that you can't possibly live up to all aspects of the law. And that's why we need the gospel. That's why we need this good news. That's what gospel means. We need the good news of victory today. Because most everybody I talk to says, yeah, I know, I'm a sinner. Yes, I've messed up. I know that I'm not perfect. In fact, that's the saying that we hear today, right? Nobody's perfect, right? We're just human. We're all sinners. We realize that. But, verse 57 in 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the victory through or because of his resurrection. One commentator put it like this: death left its stinger in Christ. Death left its stinger in Christ. A bee, honeybee, when it stings, it leaves its stinger and it can sting no more. It can't sting again. If there's a resurrection from the dead, and there is, some of you may be here this morning, and I remember preaching at a funeral one time, and I was talking about this very concept of resurrection from the dead. And there were those, they were very polite, and they were just kind of looking at me like, yeah, right. Because I was talking about the resurrection. I don't know about you, but I've never seen it happen. I've never witnessed a resurrection from the dead. Except for what we see in the scriptures with Jesus Christ, right? I've never seen it happen. And we might say, you know, that seems far-fetched. It seems unbelievable. I'm telling you that if this didn't happen, scripture says, in fact, earlier in this chapter, it says we're to be pitied more than all men. Jesus rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, there is the promise of resurrection for everyone who believes. Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. That's what scripture calls it. He's the first fruit. First fruit means it's the first to happen. But it also means there's more to come. Right? He's the first fruit. Because he rose from the dead, it means that you and I, if we believe, we will rise from the dead unto to life and life eternal. If we believe. If we believe. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. There is a resurrection from the dead. And we will be changed. Earlier in the chapter, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13, listen to this. Paul is writing. Now, Paul was one who scorned Christianity. He scorned faith and belief. He believed in a law of right, a religion of righteousness, to live, to try to do better and earn your way to standing before God. But he says here in verse 13, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If there's no resurrection, Christ has not been raised. Verse 16, he says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in sins. Listen, my friend, if this is not true, we might as well just pack it up and go home. He says, we're to be pitied more than all men if this is not true. Paul was staking his life and eternity on this, and many of you are doing the same, just as I am, right? If this isn't true, let's just pack it up and go home. No, we have a greater celebration than that. Again, take home thought. Resurrection means victory for those who surrender. Resurrection means victory for those who surrender. There is victory for everyone who believes. Do you believe that? Amen? Victory for everyone who believes. So I've got declarations here. The first one, victory costs. As we look at this text here, we understand victory costs. you know, in sports, we have some of our teens are running track or involved in field and track competition. Football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, victory costs. I just remember, you know, when I was in wrestling, it was just like the time, the effort, the pain, the blood, the sweat, the tears, you know, everything. And we went through all of that because we wanted to win. Victory costs. I think of the Olympians. We're having the Olympics in Paris this summer. And the Olympians are just, they're just pouring their hearts and souls into the desire to win the gold medal. It costs. I think of war and the cost of victory, the resources, the warships, the planes, the personnel. I was doing a little bit of reading on this. An Abrams tank, one of our tanks, when you include the upkeep and the training, cost $10 million for just one tank. I read that there's the F-35B fighter. It actually can take off vertically and land vertically. $109 million. Why? For our defense. So that if we go to battle, we can win. Anytime there's victory, it costs somebody something. You vets, You know what that's about. You think back to any who were, for example, in World War II, and I've been watching those World War II and color documentaries, and just the cost of time and effort and loss of life and the trauma that's involved, the emotional trauma that's involved in war, the victory costs. And victory over death cost God nothing less than his one and only son who died on the cross in your place and mine. We can't just shrug that off. The perfect Lamb of God, the only individual who was perfect, God became man to dwell among us so that ultimately he could die in our place to provide that great salvation that so many of us don't deserve but have received because of faith in what he did for us. And you too can have that. He did all of that to defeat sin. Death has been swallowed up in victory. It lost its sting. Interestingly, the victory doesn't cost you. Now, we think it does in that when we surrender, we give up doing things our way and living our way on our own. But it's surrender. I give it all up because I believe Jesus did that. He died, he was buried, and he rose again for me in my place. And you could never ever earn eternal life. That's why we surrender. We give up. I can't do it. I need someone to save me from my sin. Victory costs. But also victory, second declaration here, provides benefits. Benefits that far outweigh the surrender, the giving up of self. It's like there's a parable in the Jesus shared that there was a guy who was working in a field and he discovers a pearl of great price. Just like, whoa. And so what he does, he goes out and he sells everything that he has so that he could receive the pearl of great price. Buys the field so that he could receive that. It's worth giving up everything in order to have what Jesus has to offer. So what do you gain? What are the benefits surrender in this spiritual victory? Well, there's victory over Satan, the enemy. He says in John that you've overcome the evil one. There's victory over sin. There's forgiveness. The world, the flesh, and the devil are trying to tempt you to stray from God and who He is. There's victory over sin. There's victory over self. This is probably the biggest struggle. We have sinful habits, worry, fear, anger, lying, cheating. You have addictions. But because of Jesus' resurrection, there is hope over sin and selfishness. You have the power of God to help you overcome anger. With God's help, you're able to replace your anger with an unreasonable boss or an unruly child or an exasperating ex. You can show the love of Jesus and show that Jesus makes a difference overcoming anxiety with thanksgiving. And I think as we go through this, even here this morning, it shows why biblical counseling is so very important. Now, what do I mean by that? It's really discipleship. What you are getting here this morning is biblical counsel. It's direction from the Word of God. But then if you say, Pastor, I'm struggling with my anger. I need some help with that. You come and talk with me or one of our other individuals at counsel. We're going to take you to the Word of God. And we're going to show you what God has to say about that. I'm so excited about the emphasis that we have here on biblical counseling, in-depth discipleship. We have a couple of individuals who are pursuing certification in biblical counseling because there's a great need. We have people call often and say, I need some help with this area in my life. But all it is taking the Word of God and applying it to life so that you can live in victory, the victory that we have here. There's victory over sickness. There's healing in the resurrection. Yes, we face death in this body. But when we're resurrected, Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. There shall be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And ultimately, there's victory over death. There's victory over death. As Pastor Doug would tell us, it's a graduation to glory. It's just a commencement. We're moving on to life with Jesus when we pass from this life. This victory then gives you enablement. Another benefit is enablement. First of all, you're enabled to have salvation. You, because of Jesus Christ and what He did through His death, burial, and resurrection, you have eternal life if you but believe. There's sanctification and growth. You're not stuck with your past. There's the hope of changing and growing to become more like Jesus. We've seen this happen here at FBC. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen relationship issues settled. We've seen life changes growing out of anxiety, worry, anger, addictions, drugs, sex, alcohol, all because of what Jesus did and taking what He says in His Word and putting it into practice, living it out. By His help, with his enablement, through the power of His Spirit. It also enables service to live for Him so that we, as we go from here, whether we're serving in the church, for example, this morning, I got here early going through my message and just preparing my heart for the ministry of the Word. And lo and behold, one of our men walks in the door and says, hey, I says, hey, what you up to? And he says, well, I'm supposed to be here 7 o'clock to help with breakfast. Where is everybody? And I said, well, you're the first, so I'm sure there's more that's going to be here. And sure enough, when I was finished, I walked back there, and the kitchen was full of individuals willing to serve you and me a good, hearty breakfast. Why do they do that? You know, they could have slept in. Because of Jesus. You know, Jesus makes a difference. And we have the desire to serve one another. I just looked down and saw Corey. And we were talking earlier about the rehearsal. Our praise team. What a blessing to have the worship that we had this morning. Amen? I mean, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's awesome, you know. It's like a taste of heaven, right? Well, you know, it just didn't happen because they showed up at 10:30 this morning and grabbed a microphone and started singing. No, they spent a lot of time Tuesday with a rehearsal, and then they came here early this morning, 8:15, went through a rehearsal so they could lead us in meaningful worship this morning. They're serving. The resurrection enables service. We're simply beggars who have found food, who want to serve others by helping them find the same food that we found. Right? Another way of putting that is we're just a bunch of losers. Right? We're all a bunch of losers. But we found victory. And we want other losers to find victory as well, just like we did. And that victory is found in Jesus. In Jesus alone. Jesus provides victory and victorious living because of his resurrection. He provides victory through salvation. That surrender. And then victorious living as a result of that salvation. We don't deserve it. We don't have victory over our sins and our struggles because we're like, oh, we're so good. No, it's because he's so great. And because of what he's done. And because of that, we want to live in victory. We want to live victoriously because of who he is, not because of how great we are, how good we are. It's all because of his resurrection. Don't live a defeated life, my friend. You can live in victory because Jesus is the first fruits of victory. He provided the victory through his resurrection. And we've witnessed it here. Victory over pornography, over substance abuse, over broken marriages, relationships restored, anxiety turned to peace, anger turned to joy, hate turned to love, all because of resurrection victory through Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that or understand it, we invite you to come to Jesus today. I will be down front here when I close in prayer. And while we sing, if you would like that, just slip out quietly. I'll be down front here, and I'll have someone take you aside and pray with you or talk with me after the service. We'll take some time to talk with you, to pray with you, so that you too can know that victory through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you have done, all that you have provided through our Lord Jesus in his salvation, through his death, burial, and resurrection. We're so undeserving. We're all losers. We're all losers. Our sin. Yet, because Jesus won the victory, we too can have that victory if we but believe that we surrender doing life our own way, having our own ideas, doing our own thing, but surrender to who you are and how you have presented yourself, revealed yourself in your word. And Father, I pray that because of that, we would live victoriously as believers. But I pray for any who know you, that they don't understand, have not understood maybe till this point and realize, I want that. And again, so with heads bowed and eyes closed, I invite you, evaluate your heart even right now and be honest about the struggles of life. And you may have searched all kinds of other faiths or religions or whatever it may be. But I'm here to tell you, it's not religion. Religion is all a matter of trying to do the right thing. We're talking about faith. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. To come to him believing that he did all of this for you. And just come to him and surrender. Because through Jesus and surrender, there's great victory. God wants that for you. He's willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. That for you. And we want to help you go and understand. Talk to us. Pray with us. Father, work in every heart here today. I pray. that believers would live in victory with hope, the hope of the resurrection. If there's any that do not know you, they would come to you. Amen.